Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Here's where you get the Tasmanian racing edge. Now on Carnival, welcome to Tas Racing Talk. Here's Shane Yates.
Hello and welcome along to Tas Racing Talk for another week. Today on the show, we'll catch up with John Luttrell, the trainer of the champion galloper GG's Black Flash, fresh from another wonderful win in the Tasmanian St. Ledger. Harford Hunters racing trainer Tim Main trained a winning double in Launceston on Sunday night. We'll catch up with Tim. And Greg Fay will look back at the week of greyhound racing. We'll have tips along from Peter Staples, Jamie Cockshutt and Rick Puccinelli. And, of course, don't forget our quiz. Every week on the show, we'll be asking a Tassie racing quiz question. Simply enter your answer every week to win the ultimate punter's experience in Tassie. The prizes include airfares, accommodation, car hire, club dining at a thoroughbred harness and greyhound racing meeting, along with expert tips from your trip host. All thanks to our accommodation partners, Rest Point and Country Club Tasmania. All you need to do is go to the tasracing.com.au site, click on the Tas Racing Turf Talk icon, register, and the person with the most correct answers over the 3 months wins the ultimate punter's experience. So stay with us for the next 60 minutes on Tas Racing Talk.
They're racing.
Now on Tas Racing Talk, time to talk thoroughbreds.
Champion Tasmanian galloper GG's Black Flash back in the winner's circle again last Sunday, winning the St. Ledger in brilliant fashion. And today we catch up with his trainer, John Luttrell. How are you, John?
Very good, thanks. Yeah. Well,
must have been a great thrill for you to see him race to victory in the St. Ledger last week.
Yeah, it was a great thrill. Like, he won the week before at Hobart and then he backed up again and won again. So everyone was asking to step up. He's done the job there. It's going good.
Bit hard to say he's in career best form, but he couldn't be far off it.
Yeah, I was got the impression like you to me that over the carnival he was going as good as what he'd go, but that Melbourne horse come over here, my 10th horse of Pingalin, another one both the cups, but he beat the local horses and he was always going good, but you know, so that was too good for him over in the cup, but he's still going good there.
Now he's a 7-year-old, he's a Klingling La Quita galloper. At what stage did you realise that you could have a potential star on your hands?
Yeah, well, he had two runs with a two-year-old. He was a bit wayward, and then we brought him back in a maiden, and my brother, Mick, had a horse called Cracker, and he was a real good horse, and I even dealt with him in a 49-metre maiden, and young Daryl Horner rode him. He was riding over hills in Melbourne at the moment, and when we got to the furlong peak, Black Flash just pulled out from beyond this Cracker and went bang and put about 5 lengths on him. And when we walked down the mountain yard, Mick walked up to me while he was training for a while, and he said, "Jesus," he said, "that horse of yours, he's one out of the box, isn't he?" I said, "I think he's pretty good." He said, "That horse of mine's a real good horse." He went past him on the side of the fence, so after that we knew we had a good horse in the hands.
And what about some of his best wins, John? Probably not necessarily in the biggest races, but races that you think he performed at his best and probably won when maybe he shouldn't have.
Yeah, a couple of times there he won. Like, that week at Ellis, like, he had 68 kilos that week at Ellis, and he carried 64, and you know, he put paid him pretty good and the top win and, you know, like, that was one of his top wins. And, you know, like, even when he won the Derby and sort of race, he won as a three-year-old. Like, he beat the good horse of Gay Waterhouse, he beat it. And then after that, he had a bleeding attack on the track, you know, and then we thought, you know, he might never come back any good. So we had to spell him to start again. And when he came back again, he just went bang, bang, bang. He was near unbeatable, like, how good he was going, yeah.
And, of course, he's edging up towards that magical million-dollar mark, made even more incredible by the fact he's never raced out of Tassie.
Yeah, he's never been out of Tassie. Peter Merton said to me, going back a couple of years ago, he said he could probably win a Caulfield Cup this horse or Australian Handicap, as a good old galloper he is. He said, and Paul just wanted to race him here. He said, oh, he's a Tassie awesome, like he, Tassie bred. And he just wanted to run him here, and he enjoys going to the race and watching him. He's older sort of fellow that owns him, Paul and Elizabeth and that, and they love watching him in the race, and that's the way we like to just keep near sort of thing, yeah.
$965,800. It's not a bad effort.
Yeah, it's a good whack of money, yeah. It's been nice to get to me, and so but he pulled up good and all. So he's gone to the paddock yesterday afternoon. You have a bit of a break, and we'll bring him back and start again.
19 wins from 56 starts. Where do you think he might be heading early next season?
Yeah, if he's pretty fresh. If I think he comes up as good as what I think he will, I might even run him in the new market. Then we'll push on probably a few away from age races. We can sort of think just how he comes up. But if he's going good, Matt, we'll just push him wherever comes in front of him. I think he can hold his own if he runs against.
Now, he's such a versatile galloper, John. That must be a real headache for you. It's a good headache to have to work out just exactly where you are going to place him.
Yeah, he's just one of the horses. He can win a short race, a long race, wet track, dry track, carry a big weight. He wouldn't put anything past. He's a good horse he is. He's so versatile. He can do anything with him. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him win a Newmarket.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed for you that he can and that he gets to that million-dollar mark very shortly. You've done a great job placing him throughout the years and all the best for the rest of his racing career. And, of course, you as a trainer, one of the leading stables in the state.
Thanks very much.
Taz Racing Talk. Everything you need to get the edge.
Wonderful program in Launceston last week with the Tasmanian St. Ledger, the Size Produce, also the Autumn Classic, just to mention a few of the wonderful races that were staged and to tell us all about them. Peter Staples, how are you, Pete?
Yeah, g'day, Shane. Yeah, it was a terrific meeting in Launceston, and a couple of the feature races were small in numbers, but, boy, it was all quality and some fantastic racing.
Well, what about the champ, GG's Black Flash?
Oh, he's enormous, isn't he? Look, he didn't beat a heck of a lot, but the bottom line is he's carried 60 kilos. He's been carried 64 kilos to win the start before, and he's just a champion. And look, he's probably, what, 35,000 off his $1 million, all won in Tassie. I don't know whether that'll ever be done again, but probably will be when the worms have got us. But I just the way he's going, he'll go for a spell now, Johnny. Luttrell said that he'll bring him back, he'll go for the weight for age, he might even pop him in the Newmarket first up. Just probably the same road that he took last time. But I had a talk to Paul Geard and I said, what are you going to do when he strikes a million if that happens? Would you retire him then? He said, that's probably what we might do, but we'll just play it by ear. I'm tipping that if he gets $1 million, they'll send him to a paddock for the rest of his life to have a wonderful play.
Now, he's a seven-year-old. He's so versatile, Pete. That's the key to him, isn't it? You mentioned a Newmarket. From a Newmarket to a Launceston Cup, it's not a bad effort.
I think he's probably lost a zip in his legs to win a Newmarket first up. But the older they get, they just need the ground. But it's a race, certainly, he's good enough to go in as a pipe opener for one of the weight for age races. And I think he'll get to a 1,600-metre weight for age, maybe the Tasmania Stakes or... one of the races leading up to the George Adams, even the George Adams. But I don't think he'll tackle the cups. He'll get too much weight.
And John Luttrell, his trainer, he's done a mighty job placing him through his career.
Well, he has. He had to be careful with him after he had that bleeding attack, but he certainly has looked after him, and the horse has delivered the goods. He's just a wonderful horse around the stables too. I tell you what, Johnny will be lonely when GG's Black Flash is no longer in his stables at Brighton.
Tasmanian Size Produce, we spoke to Barry Campbell last week about the chances of running the trifecta. That's exactly what he did.
Yeah, exactly. But Admiral, how good was he? There was a little query, probably not in Barry's mind about the journey, but certainly about the state of the track. And it was a slow track, a genuine slow track, and on the worst side of slow, it cut up quite a bit. And even though we didn't have any rain through the day, but boy, he just joined in and he just gave them an absolute toweling. He was awesome, and he clearly our 2-year-old of the year, no question about that. And I asked Barry whether it's the best 2-year-old he's trained, and he pretty much said probably is. And he did train Alpha, as you know, and we'll see what he does as a 3-year-old, but he could be even more exciting next season.
Well, paid the amazing odds of $2, so... punters weren't exactly sure whether he could run the 1,400, were they?
No, they weren't. And that was the big query. Maybe that was a ploy by Barry. I don't think he wouldn't have backed him. But, it was terrific value in the end about him.
And a 3.5-length victory. And then we had Izzy Bayouva sent out the odds-on favourite in the next over 1,400 and certainly proved superior.
How enormous was she? 7.5 lengths. And she didn't beat... she beat fair horses, but when David Perez hit the go button at the top of the straight, she just destroyed them. And she's just absolutely brilliant, this mare, and she's won the Bow Mistress, and she's She's won the other two feature races at the end of the season, and she's done a terrific job. She ran third in the Vamos, and she's probably a bit unlucky that night because she got held up at a crucial stage. But still, she's done a great job for Connections this season, and she's a bonnie mare, and she'll get to do it all again next season.
Now, we all know racing can be a real up and down game to be involved in. They don't often come on the same day, but that was the case for Terry Evans with Inner Warrior in the Autumn Classic.
Yeah, he did a terrific job. It's his pet distance, 1400 at Launceston. He won the Sire's Produce that day last year, and he's come out and he's won the three-year-old Autumn Classic. And he's a terrific horse. He's won the Guineas. He's proven he's top class winning that listed race. And there he was presented, and people still couldn't believe that they bet $7 about him. The money was so strong for Halibur Street from the Brunton stable that people just kept forgetting about the toppy, and he just demolished them. And on the way home, he's had a bleeding attack on the way home from one nostril. So when Terry got home and opened the bay door on the truck, distraught to find that he bled. It was nothing major, but still, it's enough to warrant him having to be mandatory 3 months off the scene. And as all the Connections said, look, if it had to happen, then this is the best time for it to happen, because there was a possibility of taking him across the road, across the water, to have a race in Melbourne, but now he's just got to go out, and now he'll be out for a break and have a couple of months off, and then they'll bring him back into light work, and he'll be pretty much the same thing happened to GG's Black Flash. So if that's the case, then if he can do what GG's Black Flash did after a bleed, then he'll be doing all right.
And even more serious news for one of our real stars of the turf in Black and Tough from the Leon Wills stable.
Yeah, it's made official. I spoke to Leon, and he confirmed that she got an infection. She was being prepared for a couple of races, and she just absolutely was on fire racing this season. And her and Rebel Bride, her stablemate, were just winning just about everything, taking in turns. And they went out one morning after a track work, worked great in the morning, went out the next day, opened the box, and she had her leg had blown up near the knee joint, and it's... they just couldn't find out what it was. They thought it was a spider bite and a whole lot of things. Finally, they finished up sending it a scone, and then they actually discovered what the infection was, but it had just taken so long and everything else. It's pretty much the chances of her resuming racing, Leon said, she's a 99% chance never to race again. So pretty much they're convinced that that's the case. So they're looking now to go to Not a Single Doubt. She'll go to stud, and Not a Single Doubt is the stud they're likely to go to. And Tony Shepherd's the owner. Of course, the mare was raced in partnership by Chris and Sharon Wickham.
Certainly bad news. Let's hope that she performs as well at stud as she did on the racetrack. Now, we've got a big card coming up at Devonport on Sunday. 8 races on the card. Can you steer us onto a winner on the program?
Yeah, look, the first race... Look, I think it's a match between the 8 Manchiro and the top weight piece of work coming back from a spell. Manchiro in much improved run last time out, and it's certainly a chance again. There's a first starter in the race out of Nuclear Free. You remember the mare that Johnny Blacker trained? This one's by Von Costa de Hero, one of his first crop, and she ran second in a trial, and... he ran second in trial, I should say, behind Valiant Warrior, only beaten a half bitten, didn't get knocked about in the trial. So it's certainly one we can have a look at in the first race, number 9. So maybe 8, 1, and 9, the trifecta, and they have the top chances in the first.
The second is the maiden class 1 plate, 1650.
I reckon this is the best bet of the day, Judah. If you had a look at it run at Launceston on Sunday, and it was over the 1200, it was super run. It was last, and it was doing its best work at the business end of proceedings, and I've just said, I can hardly wait for this to get to a mile, and then, bang, here it is, 1650 on the synthetic. It's had 4 runs up there on the synthetic for 2 placings. I just think it's a money for jam job. Anthony Darman has a ride. I think it's a special, and probably 1, 7, and 8 the miners. So 4 a special and 1, 7, and 8, and take the trifecta and first 4 around those numbers.
Okay, standing with a real ring of confidence there in the second. Your old mate Kuta Fides goes around race 3.
Yeah, he's like I said, Kuta Fides. He was a great footballer for Carlton. But you go broke backing Kuta Fides. he's been if you're backing him for a place, you're doing all right. But look, he's probably a place chance again. But I saw Sid the Sloth. It's hard saying that when you've had a few. No, I'm only kidding. He's first up from a spell. He's got good first up form. Brendan McCool jumps on. Drawn wide gate, but I still think he's a better horse than Kudafidis. Kudafidis drawn 14 with Kimmy Moore aboard. I think the 8. And the 6, Mundine, finally drawn a decent gate. 3 kilos off for Hayley McCarthy. Had no luck in Hobart. Just put a line through that run last Wednesday. And it'll be much improved. And it should handle the synthetic okay. So I thought the 8 and the 6 had fought it out. And the toppy a little bit Dutch and Kudafidis the minors.
Race number 4, the benchmark 68, over 1,000 metres. Lady Democracy stepping up to in grade.
I think 2, 3, 4 and 5. I think they're the main chances here. Hell strong for Leon Wells. Used to be with the Bruntons, now with Leon. Now trained on the track. It's a fair horse, but first up, I think the others might be a bit too zippy. I'd be inclined to have something on Lazy Democracy and Save on a Spry, Classic Outlaw, or Storm Bay Bomber. I think 2, 3, 4, and 5. Then the box first 4 trifecta should be the way to go there.
Well, He's Apples, you mentioned it last week, was a sneaky chance. It got the prize at $33. Can it do it again?
Well, look, they want to take John wants to take him to Melbourne. So if he wants to take him to Melbourne, he's want to win this. he's drawn gate 9, but I don't think it matter. He'd go out and he could sit outside the lead, and look, he was 3 wide all the way last time, so it's not the best of rides, but. The horse was too good in the end. So when a horse wins after a run like that, you tend to take your mind off the jockey's performance. And but Georgie, look, she's a good rider. She'll learn from that, and she'll find a slot. I think there's plenty of speed that she can latch onto to get a position. I think I think he'll be a chance again. Soundbar, he was game, and I think he's going to be better when he gets up to 1350 on his home track. But he's got to be a chance to toppy, along with Strictly Romance. A good run last time out, and Money Penny, a good winner last time. I think probably He's Apples and Money Penny. That'd be the Quinella I'd be having a crack at, and I'd have the 1, the 7, and the 10 in for the minors.
Race number 6 on the card, Alarmist, came from well back to win last time out in Hobart. Can it go back to back for Gary White?
Yeah, I think it's just certainly a chance. Second up and up on the synthetic, obviously race is all right there, but I thought another Concerto. Look, she won last time out on the track, and then she ran a bottler behind Izzy Bohiva, and this is such a step down in class from that run, and she was game. They've got a flying another Concerto. I don't see any reason why she can't win again. So another Concerto for me. And the dangers will be Crystal Reef. I think it'll be a much improved run. It was well out of its depth last time. Back to this grade and this distance. I think Crystal Reef, trained on the track by Craig Conron, will give us a run for the money. Alarmist, of course, and Blacko, and Different. Different will probably lead this field if Pingala's GG is in the race, so you just don't know. But I like 6 and the 3, 4, 5, and 7 for the miners.
Race number 7, Brendan McCool hops on the Adam Trinder trained Beer Belly, first up from the spell.
Yeah, he's good form, first up Beer Belly. And if you look at his form, he ran 3 seconds and he won. He had no luck and got knocked down when he was 50. He had 2 more seconds, then had a bit of problem when he ran 6th and was 2nd just prior to being tipped out for a spell. Very consistent galloper this, and Adam's got an opinion of him, and comes back in 50, carrying a good horse's weight, 59 in this class too, but he's the real deal. I think Finesto, I think if he carries that first up run into this race, and he'll benefit a lot from that run, and he was game to be 2nd, 2 kilo claim for Ismail Toker is going to help the cause as well. So I like Finesto over Beer Belly. I think Deceitful Cove, number 6, 8, Zarimbi. Now, she led them up, and she was actually the reason why Siobhan Spirit fizzed out at the back, because she just couldn't get across Zarimbi. She just kept hunting up and annoyed the heck out of Siobhan Spirit in Easy Bohiva's race on Sunday. So I think Zarimbi is a big drop down in class, so she'd probably lead and be handy at the business end, and Super Broadmad might be able to sneak into a place as well. It was scratched the barrier last time. I think it bumped its head on the gates, and they had to pull it out, but it had been working well. I like the 1 and the 2 and the 4, 6 and 8.
In the last, Mr. McCartney, no luck at its 3 previous starts before it finally broke through, beating Willow the Wisp and Royal Beluga at Devonport back in the middle of May.
Yeah, that was the benchmark 62. Goes to the 68 here. I think it won its race. He and Music Player, geez, it's in terrific form. They're riding it. Spoke to Charlie at Elwick, and he won here two starts back, and they've been riding it back. Decided to let him get back, get comfortable, and just changing his mindset. They used to lead on him, and that was a process that they were trying, and it was working. And then he got sick of that, so they had to sort of keep the horse interested. So they're riding him back and keeping him quiet, and he's settling really well now. So I think they'll do the same. He did the same again in Launceston. In Hobart, and he'll do the same again on Sunday. I'll let him get back. Ismail Toker's aboard. The 2 kilos off. He's been riding the horse well. So with 57, I think is a very winnable race for Musique Player again to get the hat-trick of wins. 3, Will-O-The-Wisp. He's been placed at his past couple. 1-3 starts back. Bulabuku. Thank heavens he wasn't hurt when he came to grief on Glendevie in the last race at Mowbray. But he's just got a little bit of bruising. But he'll be right to ride for the weekend. 6, Mr. McCartney, you've got to put him in because he'll probably lead and bowl along and be the one to run down. Prince Obama, I think, can improve back in this grade, over 1880, and Royal Beluga. The distance will test Royal Beluga. 2, 3, 6, 1, and 8, but I like the 2 a lot each way.
What about a quaddie for the program, Pete?
Yeah, look, I think you've probably got to go wide in most of the legs. Although the last, I reckon you can limit it to... probably limited to 2 and 3. But I like He's Apple. So the quaddie, I'd say 2, 8, 7, and 10 in the first leg. In the second leg, we'll have 3, 4, 5, and 6. In the third leg, we'll have 1, 2, and 6. And the last leg, well, you can go wide if you like and take 1, 2, 3, 6, and 8. But I would even be game enough to limit that to 2 and 3, Musique Player and Will-O-The-Wisp.
All right, Pete, thanks for your thoughts again today, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Look forward to it, Shane.
They're set. Away they go.
Now, on TAS Racing Talk, time to talk harness racing.
Harford trainer Tim Main joins us now after a great weekend for the family. How are you, Tim?
Yeah, good, thanks, Shane.
Now, it's been a while since I imagine the family's picked up 4 winners. Your daughter, Melissa, training a couple, Faithful Gabby and also Nancy Thrill, and you deliver the goods with the horse named that, Deliver the Goods, and with Last Guy Standing. So a tremendous weekend for you all.
We'd never have any better than that. No, very, very good weekend for the family.
Well, let's have a look at Last Guy Standing for a start. Now, it ran 5th in the Dandy Patch last season. You put it out for a spell. You must have thought that you had something on your hands at that point to give it that break.
Yes, Shane. He ran a very nice race in the Dandy Patches of 2 out, and actually took ground off the leaders. He come from last, he drew by the 13, and was quite happy with the way he went. And so we give him a bit of a break, and he had a few issues, a bad foot abscess and a couple of other things, and finally got him back to races and had 3 or 4 starts and produced his best on Sunday night.
Now, he didn't get away to a good start, drawn out wide on the track, and you had to go back in the field looking for some cover.
Yeah, he's still very green. At the minute, like, he hasn't had very many starts, and being on the outside of the front, he just balked at the mobile. His previous starts, he'd been in between a couple and had no trouble, but he balked at the mobile and just didn't want to chase it for some reason.
Now, you got stuck wide, you got stranded out there for a good deal of the journey, so to push on at the end was an outstanding performance to win the race.
The week before he ran a nice race in a mile, but he was doing his best work at the finish, so... the way we train on our little track, it's a little bit up and downhill, and it seems to give them a bit of stamina. Most of our horses do finish up okay if they've got the ability, so I thought he would probably stay a bit better than he could sprint, so that's why we chose to draw him that way.
Yeah, well, he certainly found something at the finish on the home corner when he had the audacity to be still coming at them out 3 wide on the track. I thought, well, he'll get to the 200-metre mark and then start to feel the pinch after the run he'd had, but he just kept powering to the post. So that must really give you some encouragement going forward.
Well, it does, Shane, yeah. He sticks very well, as we've seen. So we just need to get a bit more speed into his legs. And, yeah, I think he can be competitive in the 3-year-old races later on in the year.
Now, you took over the training of Deliver the Goods after his regular trainer, Rod Burgess, had some back issues and some health problems, but Deliver the Goods has really continued to excel during the season of racing.
Yeah, that's right. Good friend of ours, Rod, had a very bad back issue, and Melissa and I both helped him out with some horses, and he's just come to hand nice. He, we've had to train him a little bit different on our track, and he seems to be thriving on that. And with the young driver Brady Woods claiming on him, he's done a very good job, and he seems to go nice for him.
Yeah, well, really hit the line strongly last week. How many horses do you have in training at the moment?
Well, just at the minute, we only have three, and actually, and by now, probably only two, because I've asked Melissa, the daughter, to take Last Square Standing over for a while. I've just completed a new 800-metre training track, which hopefully he'll be able to do a bit more faster work on and get a bit more speed into his legs. So it's, I think it's back to two today.
Okay, so your other daughter, Lisa, she was the one who's done a lot of the work with Last Guy Standing. She's also the owner of the horse.
Yeah, that's Lisa's sister. Yes, we she bred the horse. She picked out the stallion and with a bit of guidance from her mother, picked the stallion, bred the horse, and has done nearly all the work with him. Does all the jog work. I just do the hobble work at home with him, and she does everything else. She's prepared, and it's a big thrill for Lisa.
Now, you mentioned your wife, Susan. It was a great thrill for you a couple of years back to win the Granny Smith as a family with T.C. Holly.
Yeah, Shane, that was a very big thrill for the family. That's our biggest win we've ever had, and what made that even better. We bought the mother of T.C. Holly and Holly as a foal of the late Lee Plunkett's estate, and Lee was a very good friend of mine, so that was a good thrill to have that memory. And Melissa actually trained it for her mother, so it was a very good family affair, that one.
Well, a great result all around. And you mentioned the 800-metre track that Melissa and partner Gareth Rattray have put in now, and they were rewarded as well over the weekend with victories to Nance's Thrill and the very impressive Faithful Gabby.
Yes. They're starting to tick up a little few winners off the place. They've been up there for a bit over 12 months now, and they was just working all their horses in the grass paddock and saved up enough money to put the track in, and that's just been finished a bit over a fortnight now, and that's going to help a lot because they can do all the fast work, don't have to leave the place, and they can really stretch out and with two or three horses at full tilt, so that's going to help them a lot in the future.
And Faithful Gabby looks to have a big future ahead.
They like wrapping horses up, Shane. She's always been a bit of a anointer, cutting the leg or something of that nature, I really like her personally. I think she's a nice filly. Just hopefully they don't put the mockers on her. Look, she does go nice.
Well, she won the Princess of Pace at the weekend, and she ran that sensational race recently at Devonport. So it looks as if she's heading in the right direction. Now, Tess and Zoe, speaking of heading in the right direction, off to Melbourne for a big race at Melton on Friday.
Yes, she's in Friday night at Melbourne. She went over on the Spirit this week, last night actually. The owners found a nice race, they think. It's an MO for Vic Bred mares drawn first, and Tess and Zoe's a Vic Bred, and it's a heat into a final, so hopefully that she can perform well and do a crowd over there.
And Gareth taking the drive?
Yes. He's got a very good boss at where he works, and he's allowed him to knock off early on Friday to fly to Melbourne and drive, yes.
I thought Melissa was his boss.
She only thinks she is.
Is that the way it works? Right. We won't tell her that. We'll let her think that that's going to continue. We'll try and keep this program away from her ears during the week. Now, you've also had some thought that whilst you've been involved in the industry for quite some time, you might be taking a step back and allowing Melissa and Gareth to really take control of your horses.
Well, that's what I hope to do. I've spoke to them about it, and hopefully we can get their place set up a little bit better with some a few more stables and yards and let them take over. We've got a couple of young ones. I'd like to probably still do a little bit of groundwork with them, but my employment is keeping me away from home more and more every day. So, time I go to work and get home, it's about 11 hours away. So I'd like to have a bit of a break. We haven't had a break for about 5 or 6 years from the horse, so I'd like to do that.
All right, Tim, well, again, congratulations on what's been a great weekend for the family, and long may it continue.
Yeah, that'd be great, Shane. I appreciate the call.
Live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk.
An outstanding night of harness racing in Hobart last Sunday. To have a look at the meeting, it's a very good evening to Jamie Cockshutt. How are you, Jamie?
Yeah, Yeah, not too bad, Shane. How about yourself, mate?
Yeah, great. Thanks. Well, it was an outstanding night, wasn't it? And the brilliant Jerry's Jet really had to pull out all stops to win the sweepstakes for the Colts and Geldings.
He sure did, Shane. Nothing went his way. Everything went against him. And he came five and six wide in the last 400 and got up on the nine, got up on the line very narrowly from the very unlucky Boase and Hagen, who honestly was pretty stiff not to win the race. He lost 20 metres after the start by galloping, then got a bit of interference up the straight, which probably cost him the race. But you got to give all honours to Jerry's Jet as well, because nothing went his way, mate.
Now, there's equal dead heaters there for a second, along with Mr. Lennox, but protest was upheld. And as you say, Jerry's Jet just picked them both up in the very last stride. So it was Jerry's Jet, Bahus and Hagen and Mr. Lennox in that order in the sweepstakes. And it was the Rattray stable to the four in the fillies division.
Yeah, well, they had three runners, Shane, all very good chances. But Joker's Wild card went around as an odds-on favourite after drawing the pole. She led up with her main danger, Fuaza, on the back, which was the eventual winner. Fuaza got out at the top of the straight and sprinted very quickly and, yeah, and passed him and won like a very nice horse in the future. But Grace Campbell was a very good run to run 30 in that race. She was three wide for the last lap and battled away very strongly.
Now, we've just spoken to Tim Main about Faithful Gabby's effort in the last, in the Princess of Pace. It was a pretty impressive performance, even though it was only a small field.
Oh, very impressive. She's always shown a lot of ability in her to sit parked. It was a two-horse race between Faithful Gabby and this, what I like about you, but Faithful Gabby to sit parked and just bore the pressure on the 400 and she just strode away and won very easily, mate. I think she's got the bandbox out of mercy, the three-year-old size for the fillies coming up.
It's what I like about you for Christian Salter, second in that race, but Christian was able to win the Prince of Pace with the impressive Vanderbilt.
Yeah, he had a good run, Vanderbilt. He sat him behind the leader, Estevao, and just peeled off the top of the straight and ground him down. Over the last 50, got up for a very good win. Got a bright future, Vanderbilt, and he's heading towards the Globe Derby for the three-year-old Colts and Geldings size stakes in the coming weeks.
And Nola Mayhem, a winner of the Granny Smith. She was far too good for them in the race over the 2090.
Yeah, as it turned out, a two-horse race. They just walked over Brandon and battled away. Nola Mayhem and Rycov Lees drew away for a good battle with the classy Nola Mayhem, just getting Rycov Lees right on the line for a good win.
And the Cole Saunders Memorial Brighton Cup went to the short-priced favourite, Pachacuti.
Yeah, very impressive, Pachacuti. It's his first go at free-for-all in Tasmania, but yeah, very impressive. And he's going to take a lot of beating in any race he competes in Tasmania. And I've just been told that he's heading towards the Breeders' Crown for the four-year-old Colts and Geldings in Melbourne in the coming months. And he'll acquit himself very well. As we all know, he went second in the three-year-old version last year behind Gun New Zealand's three-year-old bit of a legend. But I'm sure he's improved and he'll acquit himself well this series.
Well, let's hope he can go one better this time round. And we've got another big card coming up in Hobart on Sunday night. We need you to steer our listeners on to a winner or two. So let's have a look at your selection, starting off in race number one.
Race one, looks a two-horse race between numbers one and four. Franco Sheffield resumed last week with a solid second. He sat park and battled away strongly for second. He was a lot fitter for this run, and he looks the one to beat from Angela Marco, who's resuming from a letter. She has a bit of ability. She draws the lead. So I think either one or four will win the race from Miss Guinevere to run third with number six, seven, eight to fill out four spot.
So we're looking to work around numbers one and four in the first. The second is the C2 to C4. Better move. Just needs an ounce of luck to be in the finish.
He sure does, Shane. He's well placed in this race. It's just a draw, barrier eight. So I reckon they'll try and get off early, just hang back a bit and try and get off early and try and move around to find the breeze. If he finds the breeze, he's going to take a lot of beating. Another Jasper finally draws a barrier. He's racing well without winning, but if he lobs on top, he's going to take a lot of running down. Lick Your Lips was disappointing last week. He sort of scribbled a lot better for this week's run, and with any luck at all, he's going to be a huge danger from Barry 11. Go Like a Sable Lombo. Gosh, he's a rebel. Numbers 7 and 9 are each way chances and can fill the minor first four placings.
Race number 3 on the card. It's the CO to C1 division. Rusty Red Comet's been very consistent without winning out of turn.
He resumed last week in the Prince of Paces. We just talked about Vanderbilt. He was in need of the run. He got beat pretty easily by them too, but drawn two tonight he should be able to find the lead, and it's going to come down to a two-horse war between Rusty Redcommon and It's What I Like About You. But from the barrier, Rusty Redcommon looks away to go from It's What I Like About You, and clear third back is Skymaker, who hit the line strongly last Sunday, not coming from a long way back.
Now, race number four on the card, it's the first heat of the Botra Claiming Novice Drivers Series.
Yeah, this is a very tough race. It's just don't know where to go, but I'm just leaning towards Tinker's Taxi each way. This race looks a lot easier on than its recent outings. Just get a card in the race. It's going to be good each way odds. Then if he's close enough at the 400, he might be able to outplug him on the way of the line. An inch of his life. It's been a little bit disappointing this time in, but comes up with the pole. He should be able to do enough to hold the lead and will give plenty of cheek. With Western Caramel following him through, which is going to get every chance from behind the leader. There's a good rough in the race called Better Bolt. We'll appreciate the drop back to this class, and just with any luck at all, he could hit the line strongly at very big odds. So we'll go 10 from 1 and 8 with 7 to run 4.
Now, race number 5 on the card, Zeke Slater's got a strong hand here. He's got two runners and they both look leading chances.
Yeah, the interesting runners are E-Babies. First up from Victoria, and as we know, Zeke's got a good record with paces first up from the mainland when they come to Tassie. So it's a huge query, and Joey Doback has just been transferred into the stable, so he's got to be given plenty of respect as well. Casanova Cullen's drawn pole. He's drawn the pole. He's been racing very well of late, so he's going to get every chance from the pole. But I'm happy to go with just on eBay on top for Zeke from numbers Casanova numbers 1 and 7, Casanova Cullen, Dowie Doback, and Artistic Place and Hop Romac can run a place at big odds, numbers 6 and 8.
The Plunkett Family Ascot Gold Cup is race number 6. Can Pasciacuti go back-to-back?
Query is a stand start. If he steps safely, I think he's just about a good thing, but it is a query first up because there's some very nice horses in this race that does begin well from the tapes. Arsplish is the key. She was very good in the Easter Cup, recent Easter Cup series. She won a heat leading all the way and sprinted home very quick last quarter in 27 and won a heat well. And she was a bit stiff in the final, actually. She never got a crack at him down the straight and she ran fourth. So she's going to be the query. She will ping away. So she looks early leader, but if Pasciacuti can wrestle the lead off or be close enough, it's going to come down to a great battle between numbers 1 and 2. But then you've got the proven mare later on who returns from Victoria from the Queen of the Pacific, where she had no luck at all for running 6. And despite the 30-metre back bar, she, with the right run, she can get into it, as can our chain of command off 30 metres. Call the Marshal. He just don't know where he's at the moment. Well, going back a month ago, he'd be clear favourite for this race, but the key is to him, if he was able to ping away and find the lead, he will be able to give a bit of cheek. And Big and Better Max is racing well as also, so he can't be left out of the equation. But I'm happy to go Pasciacuti on top number 2 for numbers 1 Ask Bliss and 3 Call the Marshal, with 6 out chain of command and 7 later on to run 4th.
Now in race number 7, the highly talented Milo Lynn's back in action.
Yeah, well, Milo Lynn looks one of the better bets of the night. You know, he should be able to dictate the race. Probably have to sit park outside of Wyckoff Lees, who looks the natural leader. But Milo Lynn will prove too tough over the last 200 metres and be too strong for Wyckoff Lees number 2. The Adriatic drops back from free-for-all company last couple of starts, so it has to be given an each-way chance to the right runner. Talk about Dexter and I Pity the Fool, the next best, numbers 5 and 7.
And in the last, the Botra Novice Drivers Heat number 2, Christian Salter's team in good form with It's What I Like About You and Vanderveld. He's got the pole marker Island Disco.
Yeah, she resumed a couple of weeks ago at Launceston with a very good second. So, draws ideally. She's got gate speed. She should lead. And to be honest, she looks one of the better bets of the night. And whatever beats will win the race. Scruffy Jake is racing consistently. Gets a good run through from the 9, so he's got to be an each-way chance. And the Family Guy, he's pretty one pace, but if he's able to find the breeze, he'll battle on strongly and, you know, could win without surprising. And then you've got Major Landscape and Lucky Dave, numbers 2 and 8, just fight out 3rd and 4th.
Now, what about some best races for us to invest our money in coming up for Sunday night?
Yeah, well, there's 3 races I really like, Shane. Race 1, I really like numbers 1 and 4. So if you win a trifecta, say 1 and 4 to win, 1 and 4 for second, with 6, 7, 8, 9 and 11 for 30. If you pay that for $30, you get 300%. And just to save, if we went 1 and 4 for second, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11, oh, 1 and 4 for first, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 for second, 1 and 4 for third. If you just had that for $20, that'll get us 200%, just as a saver. And you could also play a first 4 in that race with 1 and 4 to win, 1 and 4 for second, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 for third and fourth. A $40 flex, he'll give you 100% of the dividend. And we'll go the other way as well. 1 and 4 to win. 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 for second. 1 and 4 for third. 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 for fourth. $40 flex, he gives you 100% of the dividend.
Okay, that's race number one. What about race number three?
Well, race number three, I think there's only three chances. Numbers 2, 6, and 7. So if you just box them three up in a trifecta for $30, it'll give you 500%. And just have another trifecta on as well, just with 2 and 6 to win from 2, 6, and 7 for $20 flexi, which will give you 500%. But they look clear. Top three pick in race 3, 2, 6, and 7.
And in race number seven, Milo Lynn's the one?
Yeah, Milo Lynn's the one. So we'll base our bets around Milo Lynn and Rykov Lees here. We'll go a trifecta. Milo Lynn number 6 to beat 2 Rykov Lees with a field for third. If you have that for $30, that'll give you 500% of the dividend. And we'll just save it and we'll just go the 6 to win from the field for second and 2 for third for 400%, which will cost us $24. We could also have a first four with Milo Lynn to beat Rykov Lees with the field for third and fourth. $30 will give you 100% of the dividend. And we'll go 6 to win, field for second, 2 for third, field for fourth. For $30, which will also give you 100% of the dividend. Also got a quadrilla pick out for the night too, Shane. The first leg's very open, so we'll go 1, 2, 4, 6, 7, 8. Into 2 only Patrick Curdy, the 6 only Mellow Lynn. Into the last leg, 1, 2, 5, 8, and 9. $30 flexi gives 100% of the dividend. And we'll also have a saver, just in case. We'll just go first leg, 1, 2, 4, 6, 7, 8. Into the second leg, we'll go 1, 3, 5, 6, and 7. Third leg, 6 Mellow Lynn. Into the last leg, 1, 2, 5, 8, 9. A $45 flexi will give us 30% of the dividend. Also got a quadrilla pick out of Devonport, mate. We'll go numbers first leg, 1, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9. Second leg, 1 only. Third leg, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6. The last leg, 1. $35 flexi will give you 100% of the dividend. And we'll also have another one with first leg, 1, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9. Second leg, 1 only. Third leg, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6. Last leg, 2 and 6. The $35 flexi will give you 50% of the dividend.
Okay, Jamie, thanks for that in-depth look at the weekend's racing and harness racing around the state. And for all our listeners, they can go to the TAS Racing website and read all your form analysis for the weekend. Thanks again for your efforts this week.
No worries, mate. Thanks very much.
Set now, racing.
Now on TAS Racing Talk, time to talk greyhounds.
It's been another great week of greyhound racing around the state. And to take a look back at the week that was, it's Greg Fay. How are you, Greg?
Thanks, Shane.
Now, we had the heats of the Greg Fay Middle Distance Championship in Hobart last Thursday, and Good Odds Demon and Top Line Power were the two winners.
Yes, they were both very good heats. Good Odds Demon just been a model of consistency since he came here for Shane Whitney, had good mainland form prior to that, led all the way. There was a little bit of trouble behind him, mainly Mumford Sun was the recipient and failed to make the final. Well, he is a reserve, but all credit to the winner. Painted Dotty was very brave running second. And third and fourth, Pedro's Vineyard, Dominic Stubb. Look, they all ran pretty well. It was a strong heat.
And Good Odds Demon ran fourth to Mumford Sun in the Vets Medley final. And Top Line Power ran fifth in the same race. It came out and won the second heat.
Yes, pretty smart dog, Top Line Power. As we've discussed, he's hot and cold, but he was very hot last Thursday night. He overpowered, missed somebody, the odds on favourite that looked all over the winner. She ran very well. He just ran better. But it's a pretty smart final.
Now, Russell Watts has always had a pretty smart team on his hands, but he's got a good one here in Super Bowl. He won the first.
Yes, he's got a lot of good young dogs at the moment. Russell, Silly Lucy, Super Bowl. This bitch jumped to the front this week after finding trouble the week before. The 26-27 was very good.
Glitzy Bling made it 4 out of 8 in Tassie with a strong win.
Yes, another dog with perfect manners and a very good kennel. Rod Ransley always gets the best out of his team. Look, she had to work for it this week. She didn't get the easy lead. Lashing Illusion worked her up, but in the straight, she powered away and won.
Buckle up, Wes. Two outstanding wins for the week. The first one in Hobart, followed up with a great win in Launceston.
Yeah, look, he just stamped his passport as Tasmania's number one. There's a fair gap between him and the rest. He's just a wonderful dog, all tracks, all distances, and... there's probably another group one in him somewhere.
And Daniel's Bay was another one to run up to its great form. It's now won 7 of 15.
Yeah, terrific young dog. With my brother Gary Fay, has had a lot of injury problems since he won the Breeders' Classic at Devonport, but they're all behind him at the moment, and his run was absolutely exceptional, probably the best run of the week, actually, to run down Maker Cuppa.
And Her Highness, after a couple of placings, bounced back to winning form for Keith Nichols.
Yeah, terrific little bitch, this one. I think the best is still in front of her. She's only had a handful of starts, and 26.34 was a pretty good effort.
Launceston on Monday night, we've mentioned Buckle Up Wes scoring by 10 lengths, another outstanding victory there. Shannon Vapor, who had run a tremendous race the week before, showed it certainly got the ability with an all-the-way victory in the ninth race on the card for Graham Mote.
Yeah, look, Graham's got this dog in, you know, absolutely superb form at the moment. When he started racing, he had the manners but didn't have the strength, and now the strength is catching up with the manners. Led round the first turn. That was his first win over the 5.15 in eight goes, but he ran brilliant sections, and 29.98 certainly won't be his last. He's a very, very good mannered dog, that fella.
Margaret Rosendell enjoyed victory with Hello Benny in Hobart on Thursday. She came out with Wee Fire, who's racing in tremendous fashion at the moment.
Yeah, Wee Fire, you know, she had a little bit of a lapse after the Maiden 1000, where she went very well in that series, but the last few weeks she's just got back to that good beginning way, and to cross that field from box eight was a good effort in itself, and then to hold off a very brave Poppy Singer just showed that she's really turned the corner.
Go Betty Go, only having its second start in Tasmania, an impressive win for Susan Gittes.
Yep, Susan's got a nice little bitch on her hands here. She ran very well in the middle distance heat the week before, but this time she jumped out in a pretty smart grade five sprint field, it must be said, and look, the last 100 metres she just powered away and ran 29.91, you'd think that she's got a lot more wins in her.
And Kinloch's Way took full advantage of the red box in race number two with an impressive win.
Yes, we had the unusual circumstance of two different Nick Howards winning on Monday night. Nicholas Howard with Kinloch's Way in race two, which was a very good performance in running 30.06 and winning by a space. And then Nicole Howard with Flutterfly. Anyone who backs Flutterfly must have butterflies, I reckon, because that's the third time she's been in a photo over 278 at Launceston, and that's the first one that she's actually won, so that was good to see.
And speaking of 278s, Aroma Pache, after winning from box number one last week, didn't draw as well this week, box five, but it didn't make any difference.
No, look, 278s are mainly, without disrespect to the other dogs, they're mainly made up of speedy squibs that can't quite run further. Aroma Pache's got the added bonus of he can run a strong 500, but he's got the brilliant early speed of a 278. So he's only got to get the clear run in those kind of races, and he's too good, and that was the case.
Devonport on Tuesday, Eileen Thomas struck early with Night Tremor as a first starter.
Yes, I don't often pick a dog that's a last start winner as the dog to follow for the week, but this is the dog, Night Tremors. I just loved his debut. He jumped in front of a much more experienced field. He put a gap in them, and then he maintained it to the line and ran 26.04. Eileen and Ian just always seem to get their hands on a good dog. They've got a long way to go before he becomes a Darmec, but by crikey, that was a good debut.
Pioneer Mogul, it's now won two of its last three.
Pioneer Mogul's really turned the corner, and Richard Hall's got him going so well. He beat a very modest field, I must say, with six runners, but the way he performed and the way he won there a couple of weeks ago, it looks like he's got a lot of wins in store.
In the main, it was a tough day at Devonport in pretty wet conditions for punters. Kevin McConnon wasn't complaining, though. House of Stark at $14 and Renewable Energy in the following race at $8.
Yes, I could have made a case for House of Stark, but he was still a little bit lucky to win, but it was a brave win because he came from well back in the field. Couple up front right near the line. I don't think we're pursuing the bunny in the desired manner, but he got up there and won. Renewable Energy, she's had a couple of wins and a lot of duck eggs in between. You never know what you're going to get with her. But by crikey, she put it all together the other day. Yeah, while since Kevin's had a double, but good to see.
So punters were staggering. Bitmore Lindy didn't help. $32 chance for Robert Nelson leading all the way.
No, look, I couldn't have found her simply because of the grade. But when you look at the field, there were only a couple of dogs in it that had any chance of leading. They were all dogs that get back and run home. She was one of the two chances of leading. But I didn't think she was good enough to hang on and win like that. But 25.86, she was pretty impressive, wasn't she?
Now, can you tell me how a greyhound by the name of Quick Advance went around at odds of $7.20 to win the invitation race?
Ah, look, the more you win, the better you are, and the more you look like a certainty beaten, the shorter they are. I don't know why it is there. Look, he did have plenty of opposition on Tuesday, it must be said. I mean, Pip Star, you know, make a couple of flash innings, Cosmic Fire, a lot of dogs were very good form, and geez, he didn't do it easy, did he? He had to come from midfield, circle the field, terrific run, and his sister was every bit as good a run Pipstar did. Yeah, they're a great litter.
And Alvin Benz scored a very similar win recently to its performance at Devonport on Tuesday for Brian Crawford.
Yeah, look, Brian's really got Alvin Benz firing now. He had a bit of a hiccup in his career about 10 starts ago when he upset the stewards one night at Hobart. But since then, all distances, all tracks, he's putting it together, and that was a huge run to come from where he came and run those down.
And then in the last, it was Motlop Magic who really buried punters at $13.90.
Look, he's a real head case, Motlop Magic. And Phil Cousins, the owner trainer, will be the first one to admit that. But he's a talented dog, and when he gets it right, he is pretty smart, and he got it all right on Tuesday.
So Night Tremors, the greyhound to follow this week?
He is.
Okay, Night Tremors it is. Thanks for your time again today, Greg.
Thanks, Shane.
Live at 5, every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk.
Greyhound racing coming up tomorrow night in Hobart. 11 races on the card, and the man that's going to steer us into all the winners is Rick Puccinelli. How are you, Rick?
Well, Shane.
What about this quaddy on the night of the Greg Fay Middle Distance Championship Final? The first leg is the Grade 5. Emperor's Bridge, good effort last time out.
Yeah, it was a good effort, Shane. It didn't have a lot of luck from box 6. Goes into box 1. I think it's clear second pick. I'm taken with a dog called Despicable Ben. I thought he's win at Launceston when he went 30-18. Beating Winburn Blaze, I thought was good. I don't know if box 8 will suit him, but he's got a slow beginner in 7, so I've got to put him on top, Despicable Ben. 1, Emperor's Bridge, I thought had no luck, as we discussed just a minute ago. No luck, he'll go well from the inside draw. 2, Take Up Jack. Now, he's nearly a professional place getter. He rarely finds the line, but you must include in everything that you play. And I put in number 7, Benzema. He can be slow out. He runs centre of the track. He's very, very strong. You must include. There is an early scratching in that race. Race 5, number 6, Bozzy Skills, an early scratching. But 8, 1, 2 and 7 in leg 1.
Second leg, Dirty Rich has come up with a red box.
Yeah, look, there's 2 of him, Shane. There's a good one and there's a bad one. The bad one is when he gets behind, he's very ordinary. But as we know, there's a lot of greyhounds that like to be on the bunny. And if he happens to lead, he will win. I put him on top. 2 Winkley Tams going very, very good. She's lining up for a winning hat-trick. Look, her wins have been very good, so you must put her in a second pick. I put in number 8, Her Highness, in for third pick. Look, she was slow out last week, and she navigated her way through the field to win. I thought it was good. She's going to struggle from box 8, but she's got a good motor, and she's got some chance. And number 7, Poppy Singer. It's going very, very good at the moment. This is probably a little bit of a rising class for him, but you must include 1, 2, 8 and 7.
In the third leg, we've got Brendan Purcell's run at Baines Lane, looking one of the leading chances.
Yeah, Shane, he's my on-top pick. Look, he never got into the race last week behind Buckle Up Wes. He ran 5th. He got beat 7 1/4 lengths. Sorry, 10 1/2 lengths. Look, just forget he went round. I think he'll get a derive plenty of benefit from the run last week. And the interesting part about this race is, Shane, that number 5, Tizzer Gold, looks probably one of the likely leaders, and that'll probably help Baines Lane. So I put 6 on top. 2, Shanlon Vapor, was very good at Launceston on Monday night and is coming off a second behind Buckle Up Wes. And I think you tried to steer most punters into him on Monday night with that form line, and it was good form lines. I put in number 1, Barnes Bay. Got a good draw, got a good motor. He's been placed 8 out of 9 at Hobart. You must include. And I put in number 8, Mr. Consistency, Blue McCool. He's got a good draw. He's got a couple of desperate railers drawn inside of him. He's got some chance. 6, 2, 1 and 8.
And the last leg is the Middle Distance Championship. It's over the 5.99, Good Odds Demon, and also Top Line Power, Miss Somebody, all engaged here, Painted Dotty. It's a great final.
It is a great final, Shane. I think the start's going to be the key, and look, off my speed map, I've got Good Odds Demon going to the lead. Now, if he happens to zoom to the lead and runs 34.50, I think they won't beat him, and I think that just off my speed map, he'll be to the lead, and I think he's clearly the dog to beat. Dog that had no luck last week and still ran second was Painted Dotty. I think she's second pick. I put in Top Line Power. Now, he's an enigma to me. He's a good one and there's a bad one of him. On Song, he's a very, very talented dog, and he's come up with a red box, so you must include. And I put in number 2, Miss Somebody. She's Miss Consistency. She's always thereabouts, and she runs a strong 5.99. 4, 5, 1, and 2.
That makes Rich Quaddy for Hobart in the first leg, 8, 1, 2, 7. Second leg, 1, 2, 8, and 7. In the third leg, we're looking at 6, 2, 1, and 8. And in the last leg, 4, 5, 1, and 2. What about a best?
Go early, Shane. Let's get it early. At 7:13, we'll try and get race 1, number 8, Buckle Up Fletch. Just forget he went round in Launceston on Monday night. He was going to the lead and got dragged down from behind. He had no luck at all. I think from box 8, he'll zoom down the outside, set up a winning break, and win easy. Race 1, number 8, Buckle Up Fletch.
Launceston on Monday night. The first leg is race number 5.
Shane, found this a hard race. I went with number 6, Wild Cindy. She was spotted last week coming home very, very strongly, even though she ran fourth behind Mason Pines in the last race. Thought she had a good chance. I put in number 8, Hindsight. Now, this greyhound might be the likely leader in the race, and if that's the case, got a good chance. I put in number 2 for third, Golden Sage. Don't think Launceston's his track, but it's drawn near the fence and got a chance. And number 1, Rock Royalty, drawn well, good plugger, got a chance from the draw. 6, 8, 2, and 1.
In the second leg, High Sierra, pretty impressive at Devonport during the week.
Yeah, Shane, she didn't let the best bet down on Devonport on Tuesday. And look, she's definitely got some chance, and I've put her on top. She has recorded 30-17 here. Mick Louth's team's going very good at the moment. I put her on top. I put in 7, Blue McCool, going very, very good at the moment. He's always thereabouts. I put in 8, Hannah Bowden. She'll appreciate box 8, and she's going good at the moment. And I put in number 1, Winburn Loco. Very, very funny dog. Got a big motor. Just not quite sure if it likes pressure on its outside, but if it jumped in front, it'd have a big chance. 6, 7, 8, and 1.
In the third leg, the informed Pipstar goes around in box 2.
Yeah, Shane, this is a very, very good race. This is actually an outstanding field, and I actually went with a dog called Real Caution, number 5. Thought he had no luck at all at Devonport recently, and I just think from box 5, he's got a very, very good chance. I put 8, Aroma Pichet, rising up in class, but definitely got some chance. Put in number 2, Pipstar. I just think that they might burn him off early, Pipstar, and look, she'll be working home very strongly. And I put in one of the likely leaders, number 1, Hard as Nails. 5, 8, 2, and 1.
And in the last leg, we've got the Illingworth Classic winner drawn out in box 7.
Yeah, Shane, I can't tip against him. He's going very, very good at the moment, Callaway Ernie. His last run behind Groovy Lane at Devonport was outstanding, even though he ran midfield. He had no luck at all. Butch Devril's definitely got a very, very promising greyhound in his kennels. Thought it was clear on top pick. That was then is my second pick. Thought she had got good early speed. She'd be up near the lead. She'll make her own luck. She's got a chance. Rose Cabernet, number 6. This will help number 7, Callaway Ernie, because when she comes out of the boxes, she takes a left-hand turn and wants to go to the fence. Now, if she happened to lead, she'd run a very, very cheeky race at fair odds. And I put in number 5, an impressive Devonport winner on Tuesday, Pioneer Mogul. The numbers there were 7, 2, 6 and 5.
So that's the quaddie for Launceston. 6-8-2-1 in the first leg, 6-7-8-1 in the second, 5-8-2-1 in the third, and bringing it home on 7-2-6-5. Best bet on the card.
Shane, I'm going the coward's way. I'm going race 2, number 2 each way, a dog called Gemstone Jack. Looking at the form, there's only 2 possible winning hopes. There's Gemstone Jack and Go Betty Go. And on the run last week, Go Betty Go will be odds on. And I just think Gemstone Jack might stalk it, be very, very hard to beat and put its head in front on the line. Just at the $3 or $4 on the each-way basis, I don't think you can miss race 2, number 2, Gemstone Jack.
Gemstone Jack, the best each-way in Launceston. Devonport on Tuesday will take time. Ronnie went around at big odds last week. It's engaged in the first leg of the quaddie for Jed Mace.
He went super, Shane. He went 25.80. He lobbed fifth off the mat, and then he zoomed through to second, found the lead, and was very impressive. Soon's believing. I think he'll win again. Put in number 1, Get You Some off the red box, Butch Devril. Got a very good chance. 8, Night Keeper. Now, this is a maiden dog. I looked up on the internet. It's related to Red Nitro and King Nitro, so it'll have speed, and it's got box 8, so it's got some chance. Number 6, Cape Town Advice. 4, 1, 8, and 6.
Second leg, Hell Yeah Tangles comes up with the red box.
Yeah, he's got a good chance, Shane. He's going quite good. I'm actually taken with a dog called Blitzen Dooley. Got terrific box manners. Might jump in front. Got a good chance. One Headlier Tangle's in for second. Phelan number three is my third pick. His last few haven't been at his best, but Peter Phillipson, a very astute trainer, wouldn't put him back in if he wasn't right. And I put in number five, Maker Cupper. He runs around the outside fence, but he's got a big motor, and this is a drop in class. 4, 1, 3, and 5.
In the third leg, looks a tough race. Waratah Boy nicely drawn the inside.
Yeah, Shane, look, he settled second early, and then he lost ground. He hasn't got any mid-race speed, and he got back to fourth and fifth, and then he stormed home and run second. He's my second pick. I went with the drawn dog in Helinski. I thought it was very, very be hard to beat from box eight. Got a desperate railer in seven and a good beginner in six, so it'll zoom down the outside. Waratah Boy in for second. My third pick's a dog called Sir Buddy. He'll appreciate being drawn closer to the fence this week. He had box eight last week, and all he wanted to do was find the fence. And I thought number seven, You're Nothing, one of the likely leaders, got a chance. 8, 1, 3, 7.
Last leg, race number eight, Quick Advance, Airborne at the minute.
Yeah, going super, Shane. He's my on-top pick. Think he'd be very hard to beat. 4, Dirty Rich for second. 7, Winkley Tam, and 1, Fine Eagle. 5, 4, 7, and 1.
Rich Quaddy for Devonport Tuesday. 4, 1, 8, 6 in the first leg. Second leg, 4, 1, 3, 5. Then 8, 1, 3, 7. Last leg, 5, 4, 7, and 1. Wrap it up with the best bet.
Shane, I'm taken with a dog called Red Nitro. I think his last few, he hasn't had a lot of luck. He's drawn box seven. Now, the key to this race is there's a good bit of speed drawn inside of him, and I'm tipping like Senior Slammer, Whitford Miss, and Adams Molly got good speed. He's got a terribly slow beginner in eight. I think he'll zoom down the outside, Red Nitro, and I think he'll win. Race 4, number 7, Red Nitro.
So our three winners for the week. Hobart, race 1, number 8, Buckle Up Fletch. Launceston, race 2, number 2, Gemstone Jack. Devonport on Tuesday, race 4, number 7, Red Nitro. Notice I say our winners for the week, Rick. We'll get more information off you next week.
Thanks, Shane.
Time for our Tassie Racing Quiz question on Taz Racing Talk. And today we need to know the horse that'll be running at Milton on Friday night for trainer Melissa Main and driver Gareth Rattray, that was mentioned earlier in the show. So that's at Milton on Friday night. Tim Main gave you the information. First race, Milton Friday night for our Ultimate Punters Experience, the prize in the Taz Racing quiz question. All you'll need to do is go to the tazracing.com.au site, click on the Taz Racing Talk icon, register your name. The person with the most correct entries over the next 3 months will win the Ultimate Punters Experience. Now, the prize includes airfares, accommodation, car hire, club dining, the Thoroughbred Harness and Greyhound Racing meeting, along with expert tips from your trip host, thanks to our accommodation partners Rest Point and Country Club Tasmania. TazRacing.com.au, the Taz Racing Talk icon, and register. Answer tonight's question. Which horse will be racing at Milton on Friday night for Melissa Main and Gareth Rattray in race number one? Thanks for your company again today. Look forward to your company again next week.
Taz Racing Talk, live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival. On digital radio across Melbourne, streaming on your computer, tablet and smartphone. And later on podcast at rsn.net.au and tazracing.com.au.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.